What's going on, everybody? You are now tuned in to Trillionaire Trucking Podcast with me, your host, Mr. Trillionaire Trucking. What's up, everyone? You are now tuned in to the very third episode of Trillionaire Trucking Podcast. And if you're listening to this episode, I want to first off start by saying thank you for listening, thank you for taking the time out to listen, and thank you for the support. So as you may already be able to tell, my background is very loud and very noisy. That's because I'm deciding to make this episode directly from my truck, directly from my cab. I chose to make this episode from my truck because I'm going to give you listeners a better feel about the different types of sounds and noises that go on in a truck on a daily basis while you're driving, while you might be idling, and things of that nature. Things you might have to keep your ear out for might be a potential problem, you know, anything. You're going to get that feel today while listening to this episode. So first off, I want to start by saying, how's everyone doing? I hope everyone's having a productive week right now, a very active week. And I know that this weather is definitely not one to be bragging about, because it feels like winter just hit us out of nowhere, man. I'm like, yo, what's going on? But it's all good, man. It's all good, you know. I asked for this. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I like the fall weather, but it's a little too cold out here in the morning, man. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, I got to check my truck, man. It's under 50 degrees out here. I was not prepared for that. But it's all good, man. It's all good. So in this episode, I'm going to be discussing different ways someone can be involved in the trucking industry. And more or less, different ways a truck driver can be in different type of categories in the industry. And there's like, you know, there's a couple of different subcategories as well a truck driver can be involved in. So I'm going to be discussing that in detail in this episode. What I'll also be discussing is things that to keep in mind. Things to keep in mind if you're ever looking to become a CDL driver, or if you know anybody who's looking to become a CDL driver. There's things that I didn't know about until I became one. There's things that, you know, I thought that I was being told by, you know, just other drivers or my training instructors, things of that nature. But I just want to give you guys some things to keep in mind if you ever decide to go that route or know anyone who's ever going to take that route. Okay? So rock with me. Sit back, relax, and let's jump right into it. Some different ways someone can be involved in the transportation / trucking industry. First way is a CDL holder, and I'll go into detail about that a little later. The second way is a dispatcher. Dispatcher, you can dispatch carriers. Carrier being an owner, operator, or the company, the trucking company. What a dispatcher job is to give that carrier loads. Find carrier loads depending on how that carrier wants to run. If they want to run over the road, if they want to be regional, if they want to be home every weekend, you find that carrier loads. And you do some simple paperwork for that carrier in order for you to get paid from that carrier. Now, another way would be a freight broker. Now, a freight broker is a little similar to a dispatcher, but it's also a little different as well. Freight broker can deal directly with a dispatcher, or freight broker can deal directly with a carrier. Freight broker's job is to find shippers. So once a freight broker finds a shipper, that shipper tells that freight broker how much they want to move their load for. Okay? So that freight broker now has to move that load. So they'll put that load on a load board, spot market. And they'll either contact carriers directly or they'll contact dispatchers directly. See, the difference between a broker and a dispatcher is that a dispatcher can't talk directly to a shipper. A freight broker can. So if a freight broker posted a load on the load board with a certain price, now that dispatcher has to find a carrier to move that load. So those are two simple ways that you can be involved in the transportation industry. They both can be done simply by being home, being on the computer, just being subscribe to a couple different load boards and having a carrier or having shippers, those are your customers. So you're busy making phone calls, you're busy, you know, doing some paperwork, sending emails, things of that nature. It's similar to, I guess, an office job, but you can do it right at home on a laptop, and you know what I'm saying? But you got to keep in mind that this trucking industry is 24/7, man. So if you ever decide that you want to be involved in industry through a dispatcher or a freight broker, you got to understand that this industry demands 24/7 hour service if need be. Could be getting calls 3 o'clock in the morning because your carrier, you know, needs another load now, and they just got to the receiver. You know, it could be a number of things, but those are two simple ways that someone can be involved in the transportation industry. So let's go back to the first way, CDL driver, truck driver, right? As I spoke recently before my previous episode, you can become a dump truck driver, you can become a bus driver with a passenger endorsement, or you can become a CDL-A driver. And a CDL-A driver has a few different categories that you can be in. So one category would be an over-the-road driver, OTR. And pretty much what that driver is they can touch all 48 states at any moment. You know what I mean? They can be out for weeks at a time, months at a time. It just depends on the driver and how much they want to work and the company. Another category would be a regional driver. So the state, country is broken up by different regions. Southern region, Northeast, Midwest, West, things of that nature. So a truck driver can decide they just want to stay in a certain region. I just want to run the Western region. I don't want to go past the border of Wyoming. I don't want to go no further than the border of Arizona, things like that. And that driver is similar to a over-the-road driver because they can be out days and weeks at a time. or they can be out days at a time and only come home on the weekends, or however they want to run. You know, it just depends on the driver, it depends on the company. And last but not least, there are local drivers. Now, a local driver typically comes home every single night. They got a set shift, they got a set schedule, it's a regular 9-to-5, and they come home every single night. So within, I would say, those three categories, there's some subcategories. So let me give you an example. I can be a local driver, and my best buddy can be an over-the-road driver. But we both haul the same thing, though. So we're both tankers. We're both tanker drivers. We need a hazmat endorsement. We have that, stuff like that, right? The only difference is he drives over the road. I drive local. I come home every night. But we're hauling the same thing, though. We're both hauling a tanker. It could be oil. It could be, you know, chocolate. It could be milk. But it's a tanker. So that's an example of a subcategory, a tanker. So what's some subcategories? Subcategory could be food service, it could be oversized loads, it could be a car hauler, it could be line haul, it could be port work, you know? Any one of those categories can pretty much do any one of those type of work. So this is typically how a conversation between two truck drivers would go. What's going on, man? You over the road? You local, man? Nah, I'm over the road. Okay, what you hauling? Oh, I'm hauling a reefer, man. We got produce. We take it to Arizona, pick up Arizona, and bring back to New York. That's an example of how a conversation between the two truck drivers. Okay. So I'll give you a little more detailed explanation. Right now, I am a local driver. I drive containers. I haul containers in and out of New Jersey ports. What I did previously before this, I was in food service, which is equivalent to a delivery driver. You know, I'm going to different restaurants and I'm delivering their product. Now, I was also a local driver as well, so I would be coming home every night. See? So I've been a local driver for a while now, but I haul two different type of products. Before me being a food service, I was an over-the-road driver. Which I guess you can say that I was in food service as well, but I wasn't a delivery driver. It was a no-touch freight type of work. So I would just haul produce, know, back and forth, and vitamins and candy and stuff back and forth, but I didn't have to unload my truck. That's what no touch freight means. And I would just, you know, go to different warehouses, wait for them to unload it, and just keep rolling pretty much. All right, guys, let's talk about why I say being a truck driver isn't for everyone. And I know I spoke briefly about it in my previous episodes, but I'm just gonna tap in back into the conversation once again and just give you some more reasons, give you some more things to be aware of and think about. Now, it's a $1 trillion industry though. So, you know, there are other ways you could be in the industry. You know, like I said, being a freight broker, being a dispatcher, you know, when you start wholesaling stuff, being a shipper, whatever it is, there's still other ways to be in the industry. But we're going to be talking about strictly being a trucker. So, as I previously stated, what you want to do depends on you and if you're capable of doing it. So what do I mean by that? If you want to be a local driver fresh out of school, you can do it, but it depends on you. It depends on your background, depends on your experience. If you're fresh out of school, then you don't have any experience. So now it's just going to depend on your background history and your driving record. And a lot of companies won't hire somebody, even over-the-road companies. They won't hire you if you have a certain amount of red flags on your history. Okay? So let's say you have to go, say you want to go over the road. Say you're fresh out of school and you want to go over the road. Perfect. Okay? So let's start there. Things you got to think about is, 9 times out of 10, if you're going over the road, you're going to have to go out with a trainer. And some companies, even after you get out of training, you're going to have to go out with a co-driver. So, it's called team and solo. That's what they call it in the industry. So, if you got a co-driver, then you're driving teams. If you're driving alone, then you're driving solo. Okay, that's the industry terminology for it. And that's something to think about though, man, because not everybody is built or equipped to be in a truck with somebody, you know, weeks at a time. You know, could be somebody you just met, you know. It even could be if you're a female, it even could be a male, you know, now you feel uncomfortable, things of that nature. So those are the things that you gotta keep in mind. Another thing I would say would be truck stops. Okay? Truck stops are part of your living situation. If you're living on a truck, the truck stop assists you because that's where you might have to park the truck at, in a safe place to go to sleep or things of that nature. But not only that, truck stops are where you take your showers at. Okay? So there's about 4 major truck stops. Okay? Really 5, but 2 of them are owned by the same company. Four of them, I would say. There's a Petro and TA, which are owned by the same company. There's our Pilot and Flying J, which are owned by the same company. And there's Love's. Then when you get to other parts of the country, you know, there's other truck stops you'll run into and stuff like that. But for the most part, those are the 4 major truck stops that you'll see. 5 major truck stops you'll see. Just about anywhere in the country. Petro, a TA, a Love's, a Pilot, and a Flying J. Okay? So, off the rip, know this. If you gotta take a shower at a truck stop, a Pilot, a Flying J, and a Love's is your best bet. You know, it's just like any other public bathroom or restroom as far as cleanliness, you know what I mean? But showers are private, obviously, and certain things that you know, those truck stops do to just make it look better, smell better, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. But that's something that you might have to keep in mind. You know, you don't want to take a shower at truck stops, you know. You gotta pay to take a shower. You know what I'm saying? Only way you don't pay to take a shower is if your co-driver has points and they wanna do a team shower where you can get 2 showers off one, or you're fueling up at a truck stop, you know, okay? And then you get points. So once you get points from fueling up, say you just fueled up 300 worth of fuel in your truck. Now you got about 200 points. That's a free shower right there. So that's how you get free showers. You know, reward points are at every truck stop, by the way. So if you don't have reward points, you're probably paying about $15, almost $20 for a shower. Nobody wants to pay that much. But those are things that I didn't know until I started to go the road. They weren't told to me beforehand. They were told to me at that moment, like, you know, yeah, this is where you gotta take a shower at. You gotta get reward points, stuff like that. And me, you know, I didn't want to do it, but I'm the type of person where that's not really like, I'm gonna be very extreme. That's not a life or death situation, man. If I gotta throw on some shower shoes and hop in the shower, man, as long as it's clean for the most part, like, you know, it looks good, it smells good, it looks clean, I'm gonna take my shower, man, because that's not about to mess me up from getting the money that I need to get, man. And it's not a forever thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to suck it up for a while, but that's not gonna stop me, okay? If you feel like that's something that you don't want to deal with or you can't deal with, then you try and keep that in mind. Another thing, like I mentioned, was trainers. You got trainers and you have co-drivers or teammate, partner, however you want to call it, you know what I mean? So I'm going to tell you this story about this one trainer that I had. Okay, I had about I had about four trainers, four different guys. And this one particular trainer, man, was cool with something else, man. Like, it's crazy how, you know, it was so close to home. Okay? So anybody who knows me knows where I'm from, and they're gonna be familiar with this area, okay? So there's a town that's nearby the town that I'm from, and it's called Burlington City. So how my job works is, when you get a new trainer or a new partner, they'll text you that person's name and phone number so you guys can contact each other and you guys can figure out, you know, who's gonna be driving out first, things of that nature. And you pretty much just get to know each other, get a feel for each other. So they sent me the name and the number, and usually it was like, it was either an out-of-state number or it was a up north number, North Jersey area. So they sent me this, one time they sent me this number, and it was my area code. So I'm thinking, what? Okay, I mean, that's a first. Okay. So I called him. My name is Donovan. You know, I'm going out with you tonight. You know, anything I need to know, what time you're going to be there, are you going to be driving out, things like that, okay? So after that conversation, we met in the truck for the first time. He's putting all his belongings in the truck. I'm putting all my belongings in the truck, and it's pretty much how it goes. So, also, one thing to remember, your partner, you and your trainer, you're both living in the truck. So, I mean, just like you would want somebody to be respectful of your belongings, you gotta be respectful of someone else's belongings. And if that person ain't clean, and that person got poor hygiene, man, like, that could be a real bad situation. Luckily for me, I didn't have none of those problems, and, you know, that's something that I wouldn't have been able to tolerate. But how it works is, pretty much, while he's driving, you're sleeping, you're in the bunk. It's two bunks, the top bunk is the bottom bunk. While he's driving, you're in the bunk. You got your linen on the bottom bunk, your pillow, everything like that. And then when it's time to switch, you take your linen off, he puts his linen on. You know what I mean? You spray it down, some like salt. This and that, spray the down. You know what I mean? And that's how the switch would go. So back to my trainer. He was from Burlington City. So I'm thinking in my head, like, this is small ass world, man. Like, that's real close to home. You know, my home base was somewhere like Bridgeport, New Jersey. So I'm like an hour and a half away. I gotta drive an hour and a half away every time I get back. I wanna go home and stuff like that. So I didn't think to meet somebody that was so close to home there. Okay? So we get in the truck, we're putting our belongings in. Hold on, God, give me a second. We got a slow merger. Deal with that as a driver. The merge over the interstate slow. It's like, you know what I mean? So, okay, we got our belongings, and then in the meantime of doing all of this, I see that it's a stick shift. Stick shift truck. Now, let me just say something about it, okay? In school, you gotta learn how to drive a stick shift in order to pass the test. Now, I passed the test already. Passed the test in July. I passed the test, I got a job. I've been driving back and forth to California for a few times already. And, you know, I'm good. But me driving to California back and forth was in an automatic truck. So I really haven't driven a stick shift in about, I'll say, like 2 months. Going on 3 months. And it's like one of those things where you riding a bike, you always gonna know how to ride a bike. Once you learn how to ride a bike, you know, in those beginning stages, if you ever rode a bike in like a week or 2 weeks, you know, you might be a little shaky, but you still know how to ride a bike. And that's pretty much was the equivalent of what I was going through. I was just a little shaky, you know what I'm saying? So we start our trip. He starts driving, this and that. Now it's my turn to drive. So I'm, like I said, I'm a little shaky driving a stick. And I get through it though. Because driving a stick shift during like open road, you're not really shifting that much. You know, you're shifting here and there, you gotta slow down or you can stop or whatever, but it's a lot different than driving a stick shift in the city. You got traffic, you gotta keep, you know, stop and go, you gotta keep hitting the clutch, like, that's really aggravating. But this was open road though, so it wasn't too bad, you know what I'm saying? So we get to California, do our drop off, do our pickup, everything's smooth. So this is the time period of this trip. I left the week before Thanksgiving of 2018. A week before Thanksgiving. So I left on a Friday, I believe. And I was supposed to be back by Wednesday. I'm saying that right. But what have you is, it was like a little bit before Thanksgiving. And, you know, if everything continued to go smoothly, I would have been home by Thanksgiving. Hence, I wasn't home by Thanksgiving. I missed Thanksgiving. Okay? So, everything went smooth during the trip. And we're on our way back now. So on our way back, once you get loaded and you gotta be on your way back, you gotta go to a truck stop and you have to get weighed. Now remember what I said, these trucks like are up to 80,000 pounds. Each axle has a certain amount of weight limit. And you can transfer the weight by sliding your tandems or sliding your fifth wheel. But majority of the time, you're going to want to slide your tandem just because it's easier, and that usually fixes the problem. But if it doesn't, you might have to slide your fifth wheel axle to release some weight off of your drive axle. Okay? I mean your steering axle, I'm sorry. So we just got loaded and we're too heavy. So we gotta keep sliding our tandem so we can try and find the right weight. Because we keep going over 80,000 pounds. 81 and a half is not gonna cut it. You know what I mean? Like, and then you don't really wanna be that heavy because it's kind of a hazard, man. Like, you turning and you don't wanna be too heavy though, you know, man. Because your axles are gonna have too much weight on them. We are probably at this truck stop for about an hour, man. Almost like an hour and a half. And we just keep doing it, man. We slide the tandems, we go up to the scale, we weigh it again. It's not right, so we gotta come off the scale, we gotta park it, we gotta slide the tandems again, we gotta do it all over again. It's like for an hour and a half, man, like I said. I'm in Santa Maria, and this wasn't even at a major truck stop. It wasn't one of those five truck stops I just mentioned. It was like a mom and pop type of truck stop. Okay? So it was real small, you know what I mean? Like in the middle of nowhere, kind of. And it was like just a bad night, man. So it was probably like 11 o'clock at night, Pacific time. That means it's probably, you know, maybe like 2 o'clock back on the East Coast, 2 o'clock in the morning. So check this out. So this whole time that we are sliding our tandems, it's under my clock. It's under my time. I got 14 hours to do everything I gotta do. In that 14 hours, I have 10 hours to drive. In that 14 hours, that's my on-duty time. That is my work day. So my time is about to be up though, to be honest. I got about like, you know, after we was all done, we figured it out, man. I had about like an hour and a half left. What's going on, guys? Okay. All right, so I didn't really have that much time to drive left. My trainer, I said, yo man, I got like an hour and a half left. You wanna just switch right now? He said, nah man, go ahead. We'll take the half an hour in, man, get all that time in and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, bro, you sure? Like, it's only a half an hour. It's not really about to put no dent into our trip. Like, we're just starting our trip. So we got another 2.5 days to go. I'm like, yo, bro, this half an hour really not gonna do nothing, man. You sure? Yeah, man, I'm sure, man. Like, just go ahead. So mind you, man, the whole trip, the bull kind of been like being a jackass for real. Like, I ask him questions I don't know. He's coming like I should already know it. Like, kind of like just being a smart ass about everything. Like, answering, like, yo, bro, I'm asking you this because you're my trainer. I don't really know what's going on. And, like, I need help pretty much. Mind you, I told you where he's from. And he's like around my age, man. He's probably like a year or 2 years older than me, okay? That was the situation. So he said, yeah, man, take the half an hour drive. I'm like, all right, bet. So I start rolling. Half an hour is up. I get off the interstate, and I come up to a hill where I got to make a left and a right turn. So I had to stop up at the top of the hill because it was a stop sign. And in order for you to go off a hill, you got to have the right clutch, brake, gas pedal, like formation, man. Like, you gotta release on the brake. You gotta hold your foot on the brake and the clutch at the same time. And then while you're releasing the clutch and you feel your truck start to move, and I mean move, like, you gotta really be in tune with it, because you gotta really like just feel it to even like an inch or whatever, like. You gotta really feel it. As soon as you feel it, that's when you start getting gas. So I didn't really have that formation down to a T yet, man. Like I said, I haven't drove a stick shift, you know, prior to that in a few months. Okay? So, with 80,000 pounds, trying to get up this hill, and I got to start in first gear. Because when you're that heavy, you got to start in a low gear. Because the truck needs the power to start to go. You can't start in like a second or third gear. Now, if your trailer is empty or you driving just the bobtail, like you can start in third gear, fourth gear, whatever. But you know, depending on how heavy your trailer is, man, we were almost 8,000 pounds, man. Like we was a good like 78,000. So you can't start no other gear but first gear. Alright? So boom. I'm actually starting in third gear right now, and I couldn't get it. Do it one time, I couldn't get it. Do it a second time, and made the truck like jerk all crazy, like back and forth, like crazy. So boom, I put it down in a second. I tried a second, still couldn't get it. So now I got it in first. All right, I tried one time. I'm giving it too much gas without taking my foot off the clutch. So that's not moving my truck. It's not doing anything. It's just revving it up right now. So now I gotta hurry up and hit my foot on the brake so it doesn't go down the hill. You know, this whole type of formation, we gotta get down. I don't wanna discourage anybody. It's really not hard, but it's very, very vital for you to know and have that process to be able to drive a 10 speed. Alright, so now I'm about to try it one more time, man. Try it. Pop. Loud pop goes. Instantly pull my brakes. I get out the truck. And I get my flashlight. This is like 11 o'clock at night, too. I get my flashlight, look under the truck. And my drive shaft is sitting on the ground under my truck, man. Like, it's connected. Back of my truck, but near the front of it, it's laying on the ground, man. Like I popped it out of place. I gave it too much pressure without moving the truck. I think popped out of place, man. So I'm kind of rattled, like for real. I don't know what's about to happen. I feel like I'm about to get fired. I Mad Jones going through my head, bro. So the bull was no help at all. Like not even in the slightest way, I'm telling you. No help. Get back in the truck, yo bro, like what should I do? This and that, like so this is how he coming off rip. Like, yo bro, like why are you starting it in third gear, bro? Like you know we heavy, this and that. I'm like, yo, bro, I just started in first gear. Like, what are you talking about? Nah bro, like I seen you, like, yo bro, you cannot lie to me. I'm like, dude. I had it in the third gear. I tried it. That's what made the truck jerk. I tried it in the second. I brought it down to one because I couldn't get it in the second or third. Nah, bro. You was trying it in third all this time, bro. I seen you, yo. Yo, I drive trucks, bro. I seen you. You not. So now we kind of like going back and forth like, yo, bro, like, you're really not helping the situation at all right now. For real. And at this point, I feel like you should have just started driving. So that's another point in this situation, man. I'm like, I take the responsibility, you know what I'm saying? I broke down the truck. But I'm just kind of like, yo, come on, man. Like, that 30 minutes, you couldn't have just drove that 30 minutes, bro. Like, that was on some real, like, big lazy boy shit, bro. Like, you laying in the back in the bunk, like, 30 more minutes. Do whatever you want to do for 30 minutes in the bunk. And be like, nah, I wasn't feeling that. So kind of like we're going back and forth about it. So I called my company. I'm calling breakdown, like, yo, you know, I just broke the truck down. I'm in Santa Maria, mile marker this, X, Y, and Z. Whole time on the phone, now police officers pulling up. So he was kind of getting nasty with me, telling me, like, yo, man, you gotta pull this truck. Like, hey, officer, I can't pull the truck right now, man. I just broke down. So I'm on the phone with my company. They can't get me a tow truck. They said TA is like a few hours, man. So police officer called a tow truck. takes like a good 45 minutes to an hour to even like hook it up to the tow truck. A lot. Alright. So the good thing I took away from that whole situation was breakdowns are gonna happen. You're not avoiding it, man. Like, and it's not a matter of if they happen, it's a matter of when they'll happen. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter if you got the top of the line truck or anything. Like, breakdowns are gonna happen, man. Luckily for me, that breakdown happened a little earlier in my career, so I'm like, you know, my jitters is kind of like out now. I got all my jitters out, this and that, you know, and I learned from it. I learned how to drive a stick a whole lot better now, you know what I'm saying? So we get the tow truck hooked up, everything like that. So I don't know if anybody knows either though, man. To tow these trucks sometimes, man, it can almost cost like $1,000, man. No lie, right? So they take us back to the original truck stop that we were at, that we were stuck at for about an hour and a half, like, you know, like moving our tandem axle and stuff like that. Man, that was the closest truck stop that was around. So it took us right back there. So now they got the truck taken off, everything like that. So just listen to this part of the story now, right? So now I'm calling my company. The tow truck driver tells me the price, all right? I ain't even gonna tell you the price yet. He says, yeah, call your company, let them know this and that, and you know, be on my way pretty much. So there's different sections you gotta call depending on what you're trying to do at the company. You gotta call dispatch, this extension, you gotta call breakdown, this extension, you gotta call finance, this extension, this and that. So only people up around this time is dispatch. Finance is out, breakdown is out, like everybody's out. So you gotta call dispatch for everything. And they don't have access to other departments really. So I called dispatch, like, yeah, they said it was gonna be this much. So they tell me, hey man, is there any way that you can pay them and we'll give you the, I stopped, I said, whoa. I don't have that money, man. I don't know what you guys want me to tell him, but he's standing here right in front of me. He's trying to figure out how he's gonna get paid because he really can't leave. Yeah, we got a straggler. Got somebody moving over in the lane. Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what you guys want me to tell him, but he's waiting for his money. Alright? The bill of the tow was $800, man. Mind you, I'm still in training, so I'm not even getting a full salary of a like regular employee, man. I'm still in training. They asking me $800 out of my pocket to get this, man, and they're gonna pay me back. I'm like, yo, man, like this ain't that. I don't know what you guys like. I had to like laugh it off, like, yo, I can't even believe y'all asked me that, man. So the tow truck driver is kind of like upset at this point, and he's asking for the phone to talk to them directly. So now they're talking directly. They figured out, you know what I'm saying? They figured whatever they had to figure out. And they said, yo, man, what's your number? Because they told me to come back in the morning when you guys open, and they can email my company a check or whatever, like invoice or something, you know what I'm saying? So alright, I gave him my number. So we had to sleep in the truck at that truck stop overnight. So now it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. He's calling me, knocking on our truck, like, yo man, can you call your company? They haven't paid me yet. I'm like, you serious? And they had another thing coming, man. So he's pretty much like doing a whole song and a dance for like a whole hour. Okay? Still hasn't get paid. But he finally gets paid now, right? Mind you when I tell you this, everyone, this was on a, I think I remember now. This was on like a Saturday or a Sunday, man. And I was supposed to be home by that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Really that Tuesday. It was between Tuesday and Wednesday. So we had to get a mechanic to come fix our truck because our truck was still broken. But you know. Now I'm going back and forth for breakdown because they saying they gotta wait a day for the part to come in. Mind you, man, like stuff starts closing down around that time, yo. Like people go on vacation, Thanksgiving vacation on like Tuesday, some places Monday. I'm like, so pretty much, man. I was stuck at that truck stop until I think like Monday or Tuesday. Probably till like Wednesday, I would say. And once we got the truck up and running, we still couldn't go anywhere because we didn't have no load. While we were waiting there, they had somebody come take our load because they had to go back east and they couldn't wait. So they had somebody take a load, so we had to wait for another load. But we had to wait because it was Thanksgiving weekend. You know everything is closed Thanksgiving weekend, man. Long story short, I spent my Thanksgiving at a truck stop eating Popeyes, man. I was hot. I was sick, man. I was upset, bro. And nobody tell me nothing, man. You know, the only was I had to find some good out of the situation, man. Some type of good in the situation. So we ended up going to another truck stop in Salinas, California. And in that area, in that town, there's like an outlet mall right up the street, like walking distance, literally. Big outlet mall. So I went there for Black Friday, man, like, you know, just like catching the scenery for real. Like everybody out doing what they do for Black Friday. Like, I was upset, man. I was tight, bro. I missed my whole Thanksgiving, that whole week. Like, I had the city ball, like, you know, just messing up the whole trip, you know. Mind you, he wasn't really helping the situation at all. And then I got my company over here asking me for $800 right out of my pocket, man. So that trip, like, just taught me a lot, man. Like, it taught me, number one, how the company was moving. It taught me, number two, like, what to do and what not to do. And I got a lot of weight on my truck and, you know, stuff like that. And it just taught me, you know, about my trainers, man. Like, you would think that they'd be the ones that's trying to help you in a situation because they know that you don't have no experience, really. And you drive a truck just like them. Same, ain't nothing different. So you would think that they'll be the ones to try to help you, but it's not like that, man, at all. Not even the slightest bit, man. So I'm saying everything, and I'm saying all of that to say, if you're really going to invest yourself into something in this profession, try and get as much knowledge as you can. Try and get as much knowledge as you can. Every angle, anybody that you know in the industry, man, YouTube videos, podcast, anything, man.